Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They had some ball played last night. Thank you, Lord. Some ball playing last night. So, them brothers getting serious. Wait, run that video with Ronnie P swinging. Britt, did I send that to you? No, I didn't get it to you. All right. We'll get it to you next week. But we want it on a Sunday when it's more packed and just everybody. We're going to do it during altar call. And then he hit one and he told me, did you catch the one I hit? I said, oh, my camera didn't catch that one. It just something happened. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. We'll start reading. Amen. Remember, we're handling some big chunks of scripture, and so we really going to be relying on a teaching gift tonight. Amen. Hopefully with some flashes of the prophetic, but we just going to be teaching for the next few weeks. And so let's look at 4:1, and the Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also had ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing again to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, exposition in your word. I pray that I would decrease and you would increase, all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Saints of God, we've been in the book of Hebrews, just kind of going through, amen. And remember, Hebrews is a special New Testament book because it's a book that's written exclusively to the Hebrew people, amen. In the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament, amen, was written for us and by us, amen. And the New Testament is a little bit different. We have some Gentile writers as well. And most of the books, amen, dealt with the church in global, the church in large. It dealt with all of Christendom. The book of Hebrews is the only New Testament book addressed to the Hebrew people. It was addressed, amen, because the Hebrew people began to fall away from the gospel, amen. And go back to the Old Testament, go back to the Mosaic Law. And so the writer of Hebrews wanted to confirm it. It was a pastoral exhortation, a pastoral rebuke even. And so in chapter 1, if you remember, the writer of Hebrews says that the new covenant is better than the old covenant because we have a better messenger. Jesus is better than all the prophets, and he's better than all the angels. In chapter 2, he told us that we need to give more earnest heed, pay closer attention, study it more. The new covenant. Hallelujah. Why? Because since it's a greater messenger, it's a greater covenant, we have to guard because we'll drift away from it rather easily. Chapter 3, amen, was all about Jesus, Yahshua, and him being more faithful than Moses. And because of that, we must be careful not to harden our hearts, amen, towards his covenant, his new covenant. And once we get in, we must remain steadfast unto the end. And so that's chapters 1, 2, and 3. Tonight, y'all, We want to cover chapter 4, amen. And with God's help, amen, we'll have several points. And I'm hoping to get to around verse 13, because in 14, he's going to bring up a new topic that kind of coincides more with chapter 5. And so we'll try to get to verse 13. We'll have several points. Somebody say several points.
Several points.
All right. It's going to be quick points, though, y'all. Amen. Except for one of them. Just quick. Except for one of them. Maybe two. But, you know, most of the other ones are really quick. And so we'll talk about it. Amen. The title of this message tonight is God's Rest. Say that with me. God's Rest. Amen. Because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll talk about rest tonight. Amen. And while we talk about rest, let no one go to sleep. Don't rest here. It's a spiritual rest. All right? It's not a physical rest. Okay. Let's start off with point number one. His rest. His rest. The Bible says in verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The word for rest, Philian visitors, amen, is a Greek word that means to repose. It means to lay back. It means a resting place, an abode, a place free from toil, work, and struggle. It's a place of tranquility. The word rest here is used to describe no other than the new covenant gospel of our salvation. Because in Jesus Christ, we get the rest that they're speaking of here. We get the freedom from toil, from work, from struggle. We get the rest in place. We get the abode. We get the repose. We get the lay back. We get the tranquility. Amen. So as we talk about rest, the rest here is none other than the gospel of Yahshua Jesus, is none other than salvation. And not only that, once we are saved, amen, that rest does not only extend to our salvation, but it extends to our life even after salvation. Because the Christian life should be a life of rest. It should be a life of leaning back on the everlasting arms of our Savior and letting him do all the work. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And so whenever we are not at rest, amen, something is wrong. Something is amiss, amen. Something is not right with our theology or with our mindset in a particular season of life. And so rest categorizes the Christian walk. Jesus says it in Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Right? That come unto me is indicative, amen, that Jesus Christ is the only place that we can find this rest. Unless you go to him, unless you flee to him, there will be no rest for wicked, weary, sinful souls. He's the only place of rest. He says, come unto me. Then he says, all ye that labor. You see, the old covenant was laborious. It was full of labor. It was full of what we had to do to be right in the sight of God. It was full of work. Full of work, hallelujah, in the form of ceremonies, rituals, obligations, and rites. Not to mention the man-made rules that had crept in, amen, the Pharisees making up things, adding to the law of God, which was already laborious. And so it was not only laborious, but it was heavy. So Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary, and what? And heavy laden. The law was heavy, wearisome, because it was a whole bunch of work. Jesus says, amen, if you come unto me, I will give you that rest. Verse 29, amen, he takes it on another level. He says, hallelujah, take my yoke upon you, all right? And the yoke was what you put on an animal, amen, so the animal could do work for you, the animal could serve you. And I want to tell you here, Philip, that there's two yokes, all right? There's the old covenant yoke and there's the new covenant yoke. And you get to choose which yoke you want. I can tell you which one is lighter. I can tell you which one is easier. I can tell you which one is going to end better for you. Because that old yoke don't stop working you till you're dead and in your grave, amen? And it's not going to give you a way into glory at all. Jesus says, he says, take my yoke upon you. And he says, learn of me, all right? Jesus said, begin to study me. Begin to learn of me. Get your Christology right. If you're going to learn and study anything, amen, you be a student, amen, of Christ. You be his disciple, all right? Now, a lot of people want to still be Moses' disciple. A greater than Moses has come, and his name is Yahshua Jesus. All right? He said, learn of me. Be my disciple. Be a doctor in Christology. Amen? And he says, hallelujah, he says, learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And when you learn of me, when you take my yoke, when you come under this new covenant and trade in that old covenant, he says, you shall find what? Rest. For what? Most important thing that you need to find rest for. Rest for your soul. Because ain't nothing like a soul that don't have rest. It's one thing when your body tired, but it's a whole nother thing when your soul is tired. All right? All right? If your body's sick, if your body tired, amen, hey, God, you can make it out of that. But the Bible says a wounded spirit. Anybody say? When you're hurt on the inside, when you're broken on the inside, when you're weary on the inside, the Bible says who can bear that? All right? And the law wearied not only the bodies of men and women, but it wearied the souls. Because you could work all your life and be no closer to God. Huh? Huh? What is that like? Huh? It's like being on a hamster wheel. Huh? Running but ain't going nowhere. All right? If you want to burn calories, that's good. But if you're trying to get to a destination, huh, pas bon is what I'm saying. That's not good. All right? Jesus says, take my yoke. He said, learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, I'm not, hallelujah, as demanding as the old covenant. I'm easy. I'm light. I'm not going to ask you to do many things. May ask you to do one real thing. And after you finish that one real thing, hallelujah, glory to God, you'll be fit for the rest. Hallelujah. He says your souls will find rest from toil, struggle, and strain. Rest with God. So the first point is his rest. Second point, the importance of fear. All right? We're talking about rest. And there's an element, amen, whereby, hallelujah, rest is easy, it's light. All right, it's easy as light as far as getting in it. But you should have an element of fear in your heart as we talk about this rest of God. All right? He says here, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come what? Come short of it. You should fear. It's an easy thing. It's a light thing. Children can understand it. Everybody can get in. But remember this. There should be an element of fear as we approach this new covenant and this gospel. Because if you fall short of it, listen to me. If you fall short of it, there will be hell to pay. Are you with me so far? That God would let something be so easy, so light, so quick to get into. You can come in here lost as a goose in a hailstorm. You can come here with hell, hallelujah, right behind your heels. And it's so easy you could leave after 1 hour and your eternal destination change. It's just that easy. But just because it's easy don't mean it's not serious. Right? So there's an element of fear that we should have here. You don't want to fall short of it. Right? Pastor, why should we fear? Listen, Romans 5:28 stuck out to me as I was studying. All right? And in Romans 5:28, the Bible says here, a 5:28 sound, not 3:20, 5:28, Romans 5:28. The Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. This is so important to the element of fear. Why, Pastor? He says, by the deeds of the law. Paul is saying by the works of the law, the commandments, the Levitical law, the ceremonies, the washings, the rites, amen, everything you can put up in it. He says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh, no man, no woman, no child, no flesh, be what? Be justified. What does that word justified mean? It means to be legally declared innocent, not guilty. Amen. To be declared not guilty. He says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? Justified in what? In his sight. You can be justified in our sight. You can look good to us. And you can show yourself better to me. But my sight is not what you should be worried about. All right?
All right? Oh, yeah, you could eat, not eat this, not eat that, do this day, do that day, and you look good to me. All right? But the issue on judgment day is not whether we look good to one another, but whether we are justified and look good in what? In his sight. Anybody hear me up in here? So this is what we're striving for. All right? And he's telling us that by the deeds of the law, no flesh is going to be justified in his sight. Well, what is the purpose of the law? For by the law is the what? Is the knowledge of sin. The law was not given to save us. All right? The law was not given to save us. The law was not given to save us, but to show us. Did you catch that with me? Can you say that with me? The law was not given to save us, but to show us. All right? Show us what? Show us sin. Right? Show us sin. And show us how exceedingly sinful we are. Right? Picture it. Kev, it's simple. God says, I want you to be with me. He says, but this is what you're going to have to do. But he shows us that so that we could know we can't do it. When we understand we can't do it, it forces us to look for another way. All right? All right? And the way was made by Yahshua Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And don't know how, but he did it. You see what I made a way. Don't know why, but I'm grateful. You see, the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to who? To Christ. Right? Right? Through the law, by the law, was the knowledge of sin, right? And once we saw what sin is and how exceedingly sinful we are, it should lead us straight to the Savior, who is the only remedy, amen, for our sin-sick souls. Pastor, where does this fear come in? The fear comes in, amen, because you need to realize that and get a revelation that if the law can't save me, and there's nothing else that can, if I don't grab on to Jesus, there is no way for me to be saved. If I miss this rest, I'm of all men most miserable. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? It's an easy thing, but I have in my notes, don't play with this thing. All right? You get this gospel, you understand this gospel, you accept this gospel, and you never turn away from it. All right? Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God if you're not under that gospel. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Fear. Fear. Yes, yes. Rest is good. Rest is easy. But have a little fear as you approach it. Point number three. The importance of faith. We're talking about this rest in chapter 4. And the writer of Hebrews is just kind of summing it up. And we're talking about it. And he wants to talk about, amen, that there is a rest. He describes us what it is. He wants us, amen, to approach it with a deference, a reverential, a venerating fear. Amen. Respect. Amen. But he also wants us to know that with this rest, amen, faith is essential as we approach this rest. In verse 2, he says, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. This is good. For we who have believed do enter into rest. I'm telling you that rest is a door and faith is the key. We who have believed do enter into this rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The writer of Hebrews declares that the gospel, amen, was preached unto him. Look at verse 2. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached. The writer of Hebrews says, the gospel was preached to us. Preached to me. Preached to the people I'm writing a letter to. Then he goes into this weird thing. He says, as well as unto them. Hold on. What you talking about? So it was preached to us, but it was also preached to them. Who is he talking about here? This is deep, right? It's deep. He's talking about the old covenant saints. He's talking about the people in the Old Testament. He is telling us, Carl, that the gospel is not only preached in our day, but it was preached in their day too. What? Well, I thought the gospel was only after Jesus died. Uh-uh, friend. Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. The gospel was there before anything else. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. That's why it's called the everlasting gospel. All right. It was always there. Now, whether we saw it or not is another question. But as you do a study of Old Testament, as you do a study of the Levitical law, as you do a study, amen, of all the prophets, amen, when you dig deep down into the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, what will you find at the base of it, the bottom of it? You'll find Jesus and you'll find the new covenant there. That's what you'll find. That's what you'll find. Pastor, well, how do you know? Listen. The whole Old Testament was a foreshadow of the New Testament. Right? Spurgeon used to say that there's a red line that runs through the whole Bible, a red line for the blood of Jesus. So whether you're in Genesis all the way to Revelation, Jesus is there, the new covenant is there. Amen. Now, it wasn't as clear as it's clear now because it's a shadow, John Mark. And when you look at a shadow of a person, you don't see the intricate details of that person's visage. You don't see that. You don't see their eyebrows, you don't see their eyes, you don't see the color of their eyes, you don't see their hair, you don't see the length, amen. Well, you could probably see it, but you won't have the detail. The new covenant was in the old covenant, but it was a shadow. It was a silhouette. They could see it, they knew it was there, but the details were fuzzy. Are you hearing me up in here? All right? And so Hebrews 10 and 1 says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Just a shadow. God saying, I got a blessing coming for you. Ha! I know it's hard, the old covenant, I know it's hard, but I got a blessing coming for you. If you just wait on me, hey, God. David said, I had fainted to see the salvation of my Lord. Everybody was waiting on him. Everybody was waiting on him. You see? He says here, hallelujah, a shadow of good things and not the very image of the thing. It was hard to see it. It was just a visage. But one thing is for certain about that old covenant, that the people who was in it could never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Meaning that all the blood of bulls and goats could never get them that rest with God, that peace with God, that salvation with God, that forgiveness with God. It was only showing them that a lamb would come that would take away the sins of the world. It was only telling them that a sacrifice would be made. Anybody hearing me up in here? It was just a shadow. The law was a preview, y'all, of good things and not the real things. The Old Testament rites, rituals, rules, ceremonies represented, as Colossians 2:17 corroborates, a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. To my brothers and sisters trapped inside the law tonight, I tell you, stop chasing shadows and come to the real one, the real body. Grab hold of him, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. All right? The real thing we all was waiting on was Jesus. So the word of the gospel had always been there. The writer of Hebrews says it was preached to us, but it was also preached to them. All right? And Jesus corroborates that. Jesus said, man, listen, because he had a problem with the Pharisees. They would always lift up the old covenant and Moses and all that. And so Jesus had to front on them boys, man. In John 5:39, Jesus said, you're searching the scriptures. You're searching the scriptures, the Old Testament, because that's all they had. You're searching the scriptures. Because in them, you think you have what? Eternal life. But let me tell you something about that old covenant. Let me tell you about the Old Testament, these scriptures. They are they which testify of me, Jesus says. Whether you're looking at the Passover lamb that they had to put the blood over the doorpost, I'm that Passover lamb, Jesus is saying. Whether you're looking at the rock smitten so that everybody could live and not die in the desert, amen. I'm the rock that was smitten. Reach your hand up in here. I was smitten in my side and watered and poured out. If you're looking at that image, that serpent that was raised up, amen, to heal the children of Israel when they was bit by these venomous beasts in the wilderness, Jesus said, I'm the bronze one that was lifted up on the rod. emphasis on bronze. I'm the bronze one that was lifted up on the rock. That when you look to me, the venom, the bite of the serpent ain't gonna harm you. Anybody hearing me up in here? I'm the piece of wood you throw into the bitter waters of Marah that make the bitter sweet. I'm all that Jesus is saying. He said, you're searching the scriptures, but they are they that testify of me, Jesus says. It was always there. That's why when he met with the guys on the way to Emmaus, you remember the Emmaus Road? He took that Bible, he opened that thing, and in Luke 24, 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he did what? He expounded unto them. How many scriptures? All the scriptures. And what did all the scriptures concern? They concern himself. Yes, the gospel was there. And it was preached. It was preached. It was there. But what happened, Pastor? Well, because of the vagueness, the lack of detail, a lot of people missed it in the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews says that the word preached to them did not profit them in 4:2. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. Not only fear is important when you approach this new covenant gospel of rest, but faith is important. And faith is indispensable. And I want to show you an example, not only that the gospel was there in the old covenant, but I'm going to show you an example of somebody who heard it, knew it, understood it, believed it, and received exactly what we receive today because of that faith. The Bible says in Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham, Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted, imputed, wrapped and robed upon him as what? As righteousness. Oh yeah, Abraham understood it. When he brought his son Isaac up to the Mount Moriah, and his son was supposed to die, had the death sentence. But he looked over and saw a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham says, somebody who's about to die is let go because somebody else going to give their blood. Oh, Abraham said, I got it. He believed God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The gospel was always there. Same gospel, same faith, same result. Importance of fear, importance of faith. And listen to me good. If you don't have that faith, wow, it's impossible to please him. If you don't have that faith, wow, the word can't benefit you. John 5:24 is our last one on this point. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's if you believe the word of the gospel, you're going to get the life. Point number four, let's keep going. Come on, I got to keep moving, y'all. The problem of unbelief. I could have did point 3 and 4 as one point, amen, but, you know, I decided to make it 2. The importance of faith, the problem with unbelief, right? Go to verse 6 in Hebrews 2 and 4 and 6. No, go back to verse 4. We're teaching tonight. Let's take our time. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest on which day? The seventh day. From what? From all his works. Keep that in your spirit. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not, in because of unbelief. Back to verse 4, Sambut, the Bible says here, the seventh day. And when it talks about the seventh day, it's talking about the Sabbath, Shabbat. All right? Now, what we need to understand about the Sabbath is, the Sabbath had it just like all of the Old Testament and all of the laws, all the moral law. The Sabbath is, once again, just a shadow of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. And we got people running around here, Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. All right? And I appreciate it. I love it. And we'll talk about more of it here in a second. But understand,
that even the Shabbat, even the Sabbath, it was just a shadow. It was just a shadow. What was it a shadow of? It was a shadow of a rest that would come. God was saying, a rest is coming. A rest is coming. And what did they do on Shabbat? They rested from what? All their what? God was saying, a rest is coming. He made them observe it every week to sow it into their heart and their spirit. A rest is coming. A rest is coming. And in that rest, Frank, you are going to rest from what? All your works. A rest is coming. A rest is coming. You see? You see? We holding on to the sign, the symbol, and missing the real thing. How you going to go to Chicago or Atlanta? I'm talking about my our people from Chi-Town. How you going to go to Chicago? And when you get there, just hold on to the Chicago sign. We're here. And look, you can go everywhere around Chicago. Beautiful city. Huh? Go everywhere. Lakeside, you go everywhere. It's beautiful. All right? But here you are, you saying, I'm not going around Chicago. I've made it to the sign, and I'm going to stay by this sign for the rest of my days. I'm going to hold on to the sign. When you hold on to Shabbat, you're just holding on to the sign. And the sign was merely given to direct you to the real. All right? Ain't none of us want to go to see the sign, Chicago. We won't go to Chicago. All right? All right? And my brother, we coming to Chicago. Don't you worry about a thing. We coming to Chicago. Hey, God. You see? Yeah. And so let's move on. All right? Unbelief stopped most people from getting what God had promised them in the old covenant. And this is true about every promise of God. In the writer of Hebrews, amen, he wants in verses 12 and 13, I'm going to kind of take it out of order. He wants to let us know how powerful the word is. Right? If you understand how powerful God's promises are, right? His promise could bring something that was dead back to life again. Anybody hear me up in here? His promise could take something, amen, that was sick and make it whole again. His promise can take something that's broke and make it rich again. His promise could take something that's dry like a rock and pour water and gush water out of it like Niagara Falls. His promises, y'all, they are yes and amen, and they can do the impossible because God sends his word out to accomplish, hallelujah, his will and what he sent it out to do. His word is powerful. It's by his word that the worlds were framed. God. And it's by his word that is all held together. They tripping. They saying, man, it's gravity that keep us on earth. It's the word that keep us on earth. Anybody hear me up in here? It's the word that's keeping me together. All right. So the word is powerful. And that's why in 4:12 he begins a little dissertation on the word. He says, for the word of God is quick. I mean it's living. When God speaks it, it gets to where it's going fast. It's not only fast, but it's powerful. All right? Anybody here? That's like a mixture in me and Deacon Cordell. Fast and powerful. Anybody hear me? All right? I'm not saying you're not fast, Deacon. And I'm not saying I ain't powerful. But I'm, all right, let's move on. Let's say the word of God is quick, fast, and powerful. But it's also what? Sharp. How sharp? Sharper than any two-edged sword. There's not a material on earth sharp like it. He says it's piercing. Watch the verbs here. Quick, powerful, sharp, piercing, dividing. All right? So sharp, so divisive. It can divide that which appears undividable. Soul and spirit. All right? Which the two are so close, we still debating if they're not one.
It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, this is the power of the word, but I need you to understand something about the word. All right? The word has to be mixed with something to release its power. All right? We got some chemicals and some substances that's powerful, but unless you mix another chemical with it, it don't activate. Right? When my daddy used to work, amen, I'd see him sometime. It looked like clay explosives on him almost, Brother Steve. But he'd have this epoxy. You know what I'm saying, Brother Carl? Where you go and you buy it at the store, amen, and they warn you, don't mix it. When you mix it, when you put it together, then you stick what you got to stick on it, and it's going to stick forever. But if you take one of them, it's nothing. It's Play-Doh. It's nothing. But when you mix them together and you put on whatever you need to put together, you can't break them apart now. Because when you mixed it, it activated something. Right? It's like peroxide and baking soda. When you mix it, you activate something. Huh? All right? The word of God got to be mixed with something to activate it. It has to be mixed with faith. Woo! That's why when God talked, God could do anything because God believed it. He just stand out there and say, let there be light. You know what I'm saying? There's no light. Never even heard light before. And there was light. You see? That's the kind of faith that Christ had. That's why he could just, be healed. Stretch forth thine arm. It was the faith mixed with the promises of the Most High. As we talk about this rest is a promise. God has always promised his people a rest for their souls. But the problem is, like all of the promises of God, if you don't put faith on this thing, you're not going to get what the promise offered. Oh, God, let me encourage you here, all right? Don't let unbelief stop you from entering into rest. And don't let unbelief stop you from being blessed. Don't let unbelief stop you from being healed. Don't let unbelief stop you from being, hallelujah, hallelujah, a boss on that job, a supervisor, a business owner. Don't let unbelief stop you because we got the blank checks, y'all. We just scared to go to the teller and cash the checks. It's all of his promises. All of his promises are like doors. And to unlock every single one, you need a key. I throw to you tonight the key of faith. The key of faith. I throw to you tonight the key of faith. The key of faith. Believe in God. Believe in God. Whatever you need, whatever his promise addresses, the key of faith. God, I believe you and I trust you. You see? In Matthew 13:58, the Bible says about Jesus, who is the Word. Remember what I say is powerful, the Word. What's another name for Jesus? The Word. And without faith, the Word can't work. Without faith, Jesus can't work. The Word, it can't. The Bible says here, and he did not many mighty works there. He didn't do many miracles there. Why? Because of unbelief. And this includes the mighty work of salvation. Right? Point number 5. Y'all still up out there? Yeah. We're just teaching tonight. We just teaching tonight. Let's go to point number 5. Let's look at it. We're talking about rest. All right? I need to tell you that Hebrews 4 wants to tell us that rest is available now. Rest is available now. But I need you to pay attention to this scripture very closely, okay? Watch this, J. Malvo. Look at it. Look at him. Rest is available now, but look at verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day. Watch that, Brian. Watch that, Brian. Rest is available now, yeah, but again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after a long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We get this scripture again, this urgent scripture again. Rest is available, y'all, but it's available only now. It's for a limited time only. I was trying to give me some continuing education online, and they say seats are limited. And I missed the limit. I see. There's seats in heaven. And it's limited. There's rest in the gospel. But it's limited. For a limited time only. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what he says. He limited it to a certain day. Right? What day? Today. What day? Today. Today? If you hear his voice. It's a limited thing. He said, how long? Today. It's urgent. Why today? Why today? Because we don't know if we're going to see tomorrow. It's limited, y'all. We don't know if we're going to see tomorrow. I'm telling you, there's somebody here, been invited by somebody here tonight. And you didn't know what you was coming to. But what you have come to tonight is a limited time offer. An offer of God to forgive you of all your sins. An offer of God to save your sin, sick soul. But the bad news is, it's limited. How long is it limited, Pastor? Tonight is the night. Today is the day. Because if we don't get you today, listen, the devil never going to let you get this close again in your life. I'm telling you, it's today. It's today. It's today. It's today. It's a limited time only. Oh, it's today. Oh, yes. And if you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Come to it now. You're not sure you're going to hear it again. You see? It's limited. You see? I have here in my notes, sub-point A, it's limited to your lifespan. It's limited to your lifespan. It's available, but it's available now. But it's only available as long as you live. All right? This thing is not to your assigns or heirs, as our legal real estate documents show, amen, that you can get something and pass it on down your children. This is not like that. This is for you. And it's for you as long as the blood is still running warm in your veins. That's how long. When you die, the offer is over. If you die and you don't take this invitation to rest, what you have done to God, you said, God, I've rejected your offer. Huh? Huh? I've rescinded. You know what I'm saying, Ms. Michelle. I've rescinded the agreement. Huh? We were just talking about that this week. I rescinded the agreement. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. If you let this offer linger on, and something happened to you, and you die, hallelujah, you're going to be like the rich man in Luke 16, who woke up in hell. Could you imagine that? You go to bed one night, and you die in your sleep. Pastor, people don't die in their sleep. Oh, people die in their sleep all the time, baby. Oh, they die all the time. And could you imagine going to sleep, huh? You watching TV, you go to sleep. You wake up, everything red around you. You're like, boy, that was a good movie, boy. What's burning? Ooh. That's why you got to get it now. You don't know what can happen. Listen, the man in Luke 16, the rich man, opened his eyes being in torment. He opened his eyes in hell. And if you know the parable, this is what he said. He said he began to want to let me out of here. He want to do better now. Let me get out. Let me dip my hand. Let me get a drink water. Oh, no. No, fellow. Ain't no way out now. We ain't making no deals now. This rest, this heavenly rest, this rest from the penalty and the punishment of sin, it was only good while you was living, rich man. And there's a gulf fixed. Your place is permanent. It reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins. When they were given an opportunity to wait for the bridegroom. But they wasn't ready. And when the bridegroom came, amen, he took the ones that was ready. And the ones who weren't ready, hey, God, they come running to the door. But the door was locked. It was shut. Anybody hear me up in here? And they're knocking on the door. They're saying, let us in, let us in, let us in. Oh, no. There's no letting in. See, because in that parable, I'm going to give you another reason why it's a limited time. It's limited to your lifespan. But B, it's limited for this season of grace. See, they were still alive, and they come up there running, and he told them no for another reason. See, you could die before he returned and him tell you no. Or you could live when, and be alive when he returned and him still tell you no. Why? Because you didn't accept his agreement. The season of grace is for a limited time only. Rest is available now while you're living before Christ returns. That's why you want to get it today. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Point number six. We got two more points, and that's going to be it. Two quick points. Y'all still up out there? Yeah. All right, here we go. We're just talking about a rest, a spiritual rest, coming from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And this fourth point, sixth point, there remains a rest. All right? Bible says in verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So back to Shabbat, back to the Sabbath, all right? God gave his people a day of rest, Shabbat, the Sabbath, all right? He also gave his people a place of rest. That's the promised land, Canaan, right? But God was telling them that there was another rest that's coming. There remains a rest for the people of God, all right? Colossians 2, 16 through 17, I just want to, put this on you right quick, just to strengthen you in your Christian faith and your new covenant theology. Colossians 2:16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, which you eat, drink, or in respect of what? Holy day, new moon, or Sabbath days. The holy days are the yearly festivals. The new moons are the monthly festivals. And, they switched it. And the Sabbath are the weekly celebrations of Shabbat. And he's saying whether it's annual, whether it's monthly, or whether it's weekly, don't let them judge you and treat you like you less than them because they're doing these holidays and you're not doing them. All right? So you better than me because you take off on a day? Huh? You cursing, running women, cutting up? I'm watching you cursing on that. You cutting up, but you better than me because you take off. We're going to get to glory and like God going to put us up there and we're going to be like, and you're going to be like, well, God, I took off. And be like, good. I hope you took a lot of days off. Because if that's only what you're relying upon, you got some work to do down there. But let me see. He said, don't let nobody judge you in there. All right? Now watch this. Watch this. Is there wisdom in the law? Oh, yeah. In some of these annual holidays, these monthly days, and especially Shabbat, there's wisdom in it. Because truth be told, y'all, our bodies do need rest. Right? All right? And whether you want to take a day of rest or not, that's solely on you. But don't you dare come here just because you give your body a little rest and try to act like you're better than somebody else. All right? That's Pharisaical. That's Pharisaical. It's legalistic and it's Pharisaical. That's exactly what it is. All right? All right? So because you sleep more than me, you're better than me? You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, 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 no. Look what he says in the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. He says, why? He says, once again, they just a shadow, y'all, of the things to come. But the body is Christ. The most important thing is not to have the shadows, but it's to have the Christ. He says there remained a rest. Even after the shadows, there remained a rest for the people of God. There was another rest that God wanted us to have. What was it? The rest of salvation. The rest of peace with God. The rest from the law. The rest from the struggle, the toil of the commandments. The rest of heaven. And that can only be achieved through
through Yahshua Jesus. Listen to me good. You're in here, you got freedom from the law. If you want to do a Sabbath, do a Sabbath, all right? Pastor, what day should I do? Any day you want. Yeah. Because most people got it all twisted anyway. All right? All right? Most people got it all twisted anyway. Most of them doing Sabbath on Sunday. That ain't a Sabbath. All right? Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday was never Shabbat. Shabbat is the seventh day. Sunday is the what? First day. Easy. Easy peasy lemon squeeze. All right? All right? All right? Let me tell you something else, though. All right? They got others celebrating on Saturday. I'm going to tell you something else. That ain't Shabbat either. Because you're celebrating on the Roman Greco calendar, which is not the calendar that the Hebrews used, and so you lost. You mixed up. You don't even know what the Sabbath is. Oh, I'm Shabbat. Boy, that's Wednesday in Hebrew, boy. Get out of here with that. With all due respect, I'm saying. Right? So, Pastor, is wisdom to take a rest? Yes. Just like it's wisdom not to eat the pork and the crawfish, all that. It's wisdom. Hallelujah. Will I go to hell because of it? Nah. Am I a better person in the eyes of God because of it? Most probably not. All right? All right? Because there's some other things that God wants. God wants the fruit of the Spirit. God wants the love, the joy, the peace. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for fruit of righteousness. That's the important things. You see what I'm saying? Because what we eat go in. You got it. So listen. All right? So listen. But it could be any day that you want. Look at Romans. We got to get out of here, y'all. Y'all showing off in front of our people from Chicago. Listen, Romans 14:5. Look what he says. I love this. The reason why I say you could pick any day you want to rest. All right? He says this. Paul says this. He said, one man esteemed one day, Sunday, above another. You see? And another esteemed every day alike. It don't even matter to me. Another person say. He said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. All right? Christ done came. John, who caught up in days and weeks anyway? He said, come on, man. Come on, man. You can do Monday, you can do Sunday, you can do Saturday. You know what I'm saying? All right? For us preachers, it's Monday. I know I'm the decompressed chill on Monday. Amen. Not really. But listen, verse 6, look what it says. He that regarded the day regarded it unto the Lord. And he that regarded not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. What he's saying is the one that's saying, I'm going to do a little Sabbath, he's saying, I'm doing it for the Lord. That's great. But the other one who don't do a Sabbath say, I'm doing it because the Lord paid it all and I don't have to do it no more. I'm free. Hallelujah. And that's unto the Lord too. All right? That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. He that eat it to the Lord. God, I thank you. I don't have to, withhold my appetite no more for certain. I can eat anything as long as I give thanks. I do it to the Lord. Because before he give it God thanks, he give it him glory. And he that eat it not to the Lord, he eat it not. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to eat this. I make so much, I can eat other things. This ain't good for me. I'm going to try to take care of my temple. And so for the Lord, I'm going to not eat something. But at the end of the day, both are eating to the glory of the Lord. And God is, you know, it's all. So we mad at each other because one eating and one not eating, one celebrating Sabbath, one not celebrating Sabbath, and everybody giving God glory, whether they do it or not, eat it or not, we just all give it. Ah, oh, God. You see? That's why he said don't judge one another like that. That's why he said, you're not that man, master. And you're not that woman, master. You know what I'm saying? It's like one slave judging what the other slave doing. You know? Why are you sweeping like that? You know? Well, why are you planting the corn like that? All right? We both got different directions from the master, and we hating on one another when the master done told us what we need to do in our division, in our place. You know what I'm saying? And the master come back, and I'm sweeping like the dude who work outside told me to sweep. And the man said, why are you sweeping like that? Well, he told me outside. Well, he sweep like that because he outside. You should sweep like that because you inside. Who, is he your boss? I'm your boss. You listen to what? Who are you listening to? Your master? Or one of the servants? Come on, give God some glory. Amen.
Point number seven, then we out of here. We made it, y'all. Don't know how, but he did it. Labor to enter into this rest. The Bible says in verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also had ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Bible says, hallelujah, he that entered into that rest has ceased from his own works. You know when you really have the gospel, when you're really saved. When you have ceased from your own works, you are no longer trying to work your way into heaven. You are no longer trying to work your way to God's love and his approval. Hallelujah. You're no longer way trying. You're not trying to work your way into heaven, nor are you trying to work to keep the promise of heaven. All right? You're no longer trying to prove that you're good enough for God. When you settle that in your spirit, that he loved you because of you. Kevin, I don't know if they hear me here. When you settle that in your spirit, your children, do you love them because of anything? That's a taste of how God loves you. Why are you trying to win somebody's love who already loves you? You got to win nothing. I love you. I'm head over heels for you. You only aggravate me when you do that. You know what I'm saying? Your children trying to prove, don't stop proving. Rest. Rest in his love. Rest in his approval. Rest in his gospel. But the Bible says here, that we have to labor to rest. That's weird, huh? Watch this. Minister, Miss Chantel, Ryan, Braylon Brazen, Chris, Carl. He says, labor to rest. That's an oxymoron. We got two words completely opposite put together. But they all have a beautiful meaning when you put them together. What God is telling us here is our last thing. Then we're going, I'm serious this time. Trish, heaven, rest is hard. It's hard to rest. It's hard to let somebody else do it. For some personalities, it's even harder than others. Our administrators up in here, raise your hand. Oh, no, I ain't letting nobody do nothing. I'm going to pick it up. Get out of the way. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to do this. All right? Want something done right? Got to do it myself. All right? And that might work in life, but that don't work in salvation. In salvation, if we want something done right, we better let Jesus do it. And he says this, we have to labor to rest because it's hard work to just trust somebody else to do it all. It's hard work to trust somebody to do it all. In certain personality types, that little thing where they let you fall back, some people, Frank, have a hard time with that. Me and you would fall back all day. We don't care. We'll just fall down, you know? But other people, you know? All right, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Other people have a hard time falling back. You know, you're trying to kick me? Huh? Other people would have a hard time falling back because of the trust. I'm going to let somebody do all the work of catching me? I'm going to let somebody do all the work of letting me fall? And I'm going to have to trust them so I won't hit the ground? Huh? I'm just looking at our administrative personalities. I know I'm up in here. Did you just point your pen at Kevin? Oh. So it's laborious to rest. It's hard work to trust. Look, I'm just going by y'all, just automatically knowing who these people are. It's hard work to trust. All right? In everyday life,
For those who have a problem trusting God, is going to work your faith out in that. He's going to work your faith out in that. He's going to put you in situations where you can't do for yourself. I better leave right there. I better leave that right there. Because when he can get you where you can't do it, you can't change it, you can't create it, you can't make it happen, and then you just got to, and it's hard work, so you got to labor to rest. Right? And it's the same thing with the gospel. Every false religion in the world has a problem with this rest. Every false religious system that we could study, if we redid our apologetics class on false religion, every false religion is categorized by this one area. Jesus says that they stumble at the stumbling stone, which is the cross of Calvary. My mic is going on. I really got to go. It's the cross of Calvary. Because every false religion at its essence has a doctrine in it whereby you win your way to heaven. You win the love of God. You work your way to forgiveness and salvation through penance, through baptism, through speaking in tongues. And it cuts across Christianity, and it cuts across Hinduism and Buddhism and Confucianism and Scientology. It just cuts across them all. And there's one way that you can summarize all false religion. There is no rest in it. No rest. No rest. Christian, I'm going to go, listen. Labor. Work hard. Struggle. To enter into his rest. Fight yourself. Tell yourself, there is nothing I can do to add to the finished work of Calvary. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Fight for it. And you not only fight to get in, but fight to remain conscious and mentally connected to it. Don't let these people come and convince you that you have to work to get in. Don't let them do that. Labor to rest. Labor to rest. Labor to rest. We talked about God's rest tonight. I'm already past my time, so I can't do a recap. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much, God, that you've given us rest for our souls tonight. God, I thank you. Father, I'm praying for somebody who's in the audience who came in here with their souls restless, tired, running, weary. I remember when I was like that. Like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, nothing satisfied. Everything was vanity, no purpose, no meaning. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me rest for my soul. I'm praying that those restless souls tonight would be saved. They've heard your gospel, and you have promised that the gospel would be accompanied by power, that it is the very power of God to save those who believe. Now, Father, we pray you take our faith and mix it with your word tonight and send down your power. Let your power fall when your name is called in this place. And we pray that lost and sin-sick souls would be converted. We pray that you would ransom, rescue, and release tonight in this place. I don't know who here, but you know, God. Save to the utmost. And not only that, but sanctify. Wash them with your word tonight. Take the saints who already saved and secure them, cement them in your rest tonight. No toil. No struggle, no problem, no burden. Just rest. Everybody in the sound of my voice, if you can pray with me, say, Lord, thank you for peace, for rest, for your promises. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I believe your word that you died on the cross for me, that you were buried in the grave, and on the third day you rose. Lord, save me, a sinner. Release the power of your gospel. Save my soul. Fill me with your spirit and help me to remain in your rest. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory, saints. Give him some glory. Amen. We're going to pray and get y'all out of here, saints. Hallelujah. I don't know. Y'all been keeping me long on Tuesdays. I'm going to have to watch y'all. Y'all be laughing and cutting up in here. Come on, Omar. Come by daddy. Come on, Bo. Look, I'm right here. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he look down upon you. Be gracious unto you.
I like that.
And may shalom. May he give you peace. Peace for your soul. For your body. For your mind. Peace. And prosperity. And upon you. Favor, favor, favor. Just Jesus' mighty name we pray. And amen. Love y'all. Be blessed.